In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Death is inevitable, or so humans have thought since Adam and Eve's exile from paradise and their fall into sin. But there is a man in our world today, a man named Brian Johnson, who is convinced that it is no longer inconceivable for humanity to legitimately conquer death. Now, this may seem a bit odd for us Christians because we know that death has already been conquered. But Brian Johnson is talking about a conquering of death here in this life, living forever here on this earth. And he is completely convinced that this is possible. In a recent interview with a well-known political commentator, Johnson discussed his conviction that eternal life can be achieved now in a physical sense. And there are two primary convictions that underlie Johnson's conviction about death being able to be conquered here in this life. And those two convictions are, first of all, the trust in and the advancement of artificial intelligence and technology, which he believes will give us the data and information to be able to achieve this. The second conviction is what he calls the don't die game, which he believes can be a rallying cry around which all people of the world can unite. Now, the troubling nature of AI and tech advances is something that can be discussed another time. But for today, what I'd like to hone in on is this don't die game that Johnson is promoting. That he believes don't die is the thing that everyone can unite around. And so as we consider that, let us recognize that as we are here in the season of Easter here in the church, that we Christians view death differently than the pagan and apostate world around us. This is because Christ Jesus, our Lord, has gone into death for us. He has suffered death and the grave, and he has conquered it. He is risen from the dead, and so too shall we. And so it is that in our text for this day, Christ teaches his disciples and by extension us how we ought to think about death. John chapter 16 occurs on the night that our Lord was betrayed. In fact, John's gospel for the several chapters around this devotes a significant amount of time to the teaching that our Lord gave to his disciples on that night before he instituted the Lord's Supper and afterward leading up until his arrest in Gethsemane. There's a number of significant teachings that our Lord gave there, which will be the subject of our gospel readings for the next month or so. But today, we focus in on the idea of death, for this is the night that our Lord was betrayed. He himself was preparing for death, and as he was preparing for death, he also teaches us how to rightly think about death and indeed how to prepare for our own death. So first, let's consider some key language that our Lord uses in the gospel text for today. This key language is instructive for us about how we ought to think about death. The first phrase that our Lord uses in the text for today is the phrase, a little while. This is a phrase that is used actually seven times in the short seven-verse text. It's important. Our Lord would have us think of death as but a little while. Death seems permanent to us, but that is not the case. When a loved one that we care for deeply dies, It seems like we won't see them again for an eternity, that we will spend the rest of our lives missing them, and indeed, we will spend the rest of our lives missing them. But death is not an eternity. Death is only a little while. This, of course, is true of our Lord Jesus Christ, who was in the grave for only a little while, 3 short days, as he rested in the tomb. It's true for our Lord that death was but a little while. But because he has risen from the dead, that same truth is for you as well. Your death will be but a little while. Likely, you will be in the grave a little bit longer than Christ was. And yet, your death will still be a little while when compared to the eternity of paradise which awaits us. Another interesting phrase that our Lord uses in the text preceding this one, and it's echoed again here in our text for today, is the phrase that he is going to the Father. Maybe we think of this in relation to his ascension that we'll be celebrating in a few weeks, but most properly, our Lord is speaking of going away to the Father in regard to his impending death. We humans tend to think of death as a cold and hard reality, a separation from loved ones, a lonely journey that we must take all by ourselves with no one to accompany us. And so death is a scary proposition. It's filled with fear for so many. But this is not the primary way that our Lord would have us view death. To be sure, death is a separation from the body, but it is not a separation from him who loves us. Death is a journey that we all must take, where we will leave behind those whom we care about who remain on this earth, but it is not a lonely journey. For our Lord teaches quite clearly that when we die, the holy angels will come to carry us to the Father's bosom. For in death, we go to be with the Father. The final language I'd like to consider is how our Lord talks about death as a present sorrow, but yet joy is to come. This is important, because it's not as if death is without sadness and mourning. Of course it is. But sorrow and mourning are not the end of death. That is because joy is coming. Therefore, we Christians, as we mourn the death of one who has died in the faith, we do not mourn for the sake of the one who has died, because that person has gone to be with the Father. We do not mourn for their sake. We mourn, rather, for the sake of those of us who are left behind, those of us who have lost them and will live on without them until we join them in death. But as we mourn, and we mourn our own loss, we mourn in hope, knowing that death is but a little while. It is as a mother who gives birth. The sorrow and the pain of birth are very real and should not be discounted. But those of you who are mothers know this better than the rest of us. Mothers have this remarkable capacity to forget the pain of childbirth after it has happened, or at least forget the extent of it. As soon as the baby is placed on your chest or in your arms, that pain and that sorrow is gone because of the joy of the child being born into the world. This is what the pain of death is like. It hurts now. It hurts a lot. But there is such a great joy awaiting us on the other side that we will forget the extent of the pain because of the eternal bliss in which we will be. So it is with this language that our Lord instructs us to change the way that we think about death. We don't think about death the same way that the pagan and apostate world around us does, because Christ has changed the reality of death by virtue of his own death and resurrection. We, of course, know that apart from Christ, the wages of sin is death, as the Apostle Paul teaches. Death is a punishment for sin because of God's wrath against sin, against those who have rebelled against his good and perfect law. And so for those who are not in Christ, physical death is but the beginning of the second or eternal death. Therefore, those who are not in Christ could and indeed are tempted to see death as something to be conquered. Thus, the don't die game becomes a rallying cry for pagans around us. Don't die becomes the highest good. But these things are only true for unbelievers. For Christ has gone to the cross to atone for your sins. He has suffered the punishment of God's wrath that your sins have brought upon you. He has suffered the punishment that you deserve. And he is risen from the dead. He has been raised to newness of life as the first fruits of we who also will rise from the dead. Because he is risen, we know for certain that we too will rise. And therefore, for us Christians, we think differently about death. For us Christians, we know that our death is not a punishment for our sins. For Christ has suffered that punishment already. Therefore, death not being a punishment for sin, death is, it could be compared to a father's discipline. To a discipline that refines the one whom the father loves. The old Adam, which clings to us so closely, will be put to death forever when your body enters the grave. But of course, death is just a little while, because it will not remain. And this leads to the next point, that death, not being permanent, is a sweet and pleasant sleep. Repeatedly, over and over again in the Gospels, our Lord Jesus refers to death as sleep, as a rest, as we rest in the arms of our Father. Therefore, death is also a victory over sin and a liberation from it. Because the old Adam has been put to death, then we will arise to newness of life because of this victory. And yes, even death itself can be said to be our victory. Just as the devil and the world rejected Christ and rejoiced, in fact, at his death, so too will the devil rejoice at your death. But his joy will be turned into sorrow, as your sorrow will be turned into joy. For Christ has sanctified death and the grave by virtue of his victory over it. And therefore, we Christians know that death is but a transition. It is a translation from this valley of sorrows to the blessed state of eternal life with the Lord. Death is the ultimate enemy, or it is rather the ultimate weapon of the enemy. But Christ has transformed the devil's chief weapon into the door to true life. So let us be clear. Death is not somehow inherently good by virtue of Christ's death and resurrection. Death remains an evil, but it is an evil which God uses for our good. On account of Christ's death and resurrection, We Christians do not fear death as the world does. We do not need to unite around the rallying cry of don't die. Because eternal life, yes, an eternal life that is better than the one we could have here, is in store for us. St. Augustine describes this attitude quite well when he says that we Christians do not fear death, not because death, which used to be evil, has become something good, but because God has given faith so great a grace that death, which certainly is the opposite of life, becomes the means through which one passes to life. Thanks be to God who gives us such a victory through Christ our Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.